This is the journey.
This is the journey.
Welcome back to We Love Science Podcast. This is the journey episode. Here, our guest star shares more about their discovery of science and how mentors and experiences shaped who they are today. To hear more about the work associated with this journey, please check out the previous episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. We love science. Today, we've been talking to Dr. Laura Canil, who is another science artist. Very, very cool. I love science artists. So through your company, Laura, which is called Canil Visuals, you've been creating just these really strikingly beautiful visual representations of scientific concepts, right? So they're like scientific works of art. So I really love how those two things come together. It's always so interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So we are going to jump into the journey segment of our conversation. And this is where we talk about sort of your career journey and how you got here. And we like to start with your earliest memories involving science. So did you have a science spark or any science wow moments growing up?
I mean, I think it kind of developed while growing up. So I don't have a specific moment where I was like, oh, now I'm going to do science. Mm-hmm. Actually, it changed a bit. So I do remember when I was a child, I wanted to become an inventor. I like to building up stuff.
Yeah.
But then I changed and I wanted to be a painter. So now I'm kind of doing both, which is kind of cool. And then I went through other random things like forest ranger or completely unrelated.
Wow, I love that. Wonderful.
And it didn't really get back to science until middle high school, I think, because there. Mm-hmm. So in high school, I actually studied languages, so not really science related. Mm-hmm. But then during those years, I started to become more interested in science communication, things in general. Mm-hmm. And I liked a lot astronomy. I was super fascinated by the universe. And I would go to my volleyball training and then come back and look at the stars and try to learn all the names.
Oh, I love that. Nice. That's so sweet.
So then when I finished with the high school, I decided to shift from languages, which I was studying, to more scientific topics. So I went for physics.
Very, that's the hard science, right?
It was a big jump, yeah. It was a bit hard in the beginning.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but then, it was super exciting for me, to get to know all these new things. Mm-hmm. And I did both my bachelor and master in the same university in Italy. And then after at the end of the master, I went to Amsterdam for an internship that I used for my master thesis. But that was my first research experience, basically.
Mm, cool.
Great.
And at that point, I wasn't sure if I want to stay in research or what to do exactly, but I did that experience. So I decided then to continue also with a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
For my PhD, I moved to Berlin and I did a PhD for 4 years there, mainly working with the photovoltaics, solar cells, and still physics, chemistry kind of as general topics. Mm-hmm. And so during the PhD, so science, I like doing the research part, but during the PhD, I realized that I liked more the communication part of it. I really spent a lot of time on my presentations, on making the figures for my papers looking nice.
Yeah.
I spend hours trying to make some animation because it's nice. And for me, it also helped to understand better what I was doing or what other people around me were doing, to represent visually the topic.
Yeah.
So when I was then towards, I think, a bit over the half of the PhD, and then I started to think what I want to do after. And I realized I didn't want to stay in research, but I also didn't want to go away from science.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that science illustration was a job. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it existed.
Right.
So But then I started to look in the internet, mainly looking for science communication jobs in general, and finding what other people were doing. And after a while, I found the website of a scientific illustrator.
Okay.
And then I went like, I really read through the biography of this guy who actually is from Berlin as well. I had later on the chance to talk to him in person. That was really useful.
Cool.
And then when I read it, like the biography and what he's doing, I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Like that's what I like to do. And it, the same kind of interest in science, but more from this visual and communication point of view. And then so I found out this was actually a possibility as a career.
Great.
And so from that point on, I started to kind of focus on that as idea for my future. Still, you know, in parallel to my PhD. So my main job was still doing research and working for my PhD, which takes most of the time. So I didn't have a lot of time to work on scientific illustration on the side. Mm-hmm. But I started to try to look into it a bit more, try to learn a bit of design software because, you know, I could use only PowerPoint, but that's not enough of it. You can do pretty cool things with PowerPoint, I think. To be professional, you need a bit more than that.
Yeah.
So on the side, yeah, I started to learn a bit of Photoshop at first, Illustrator, Blender for 3D. But really just a little bit when I had time, and I did some figures and covers for myself, for my papers, for friends' papers, just to practice. Until when I finally finished with the PhD, then I had the time to focus completely on this. So I decided to take at least a few months off and just focus on learning all the softwares, practicing, basically. And I did that for, I don't know, a bit more than 6 months, I think.
Okay.
And then this was until the end of last year. And then beginning of this year, I officially started freelancing as a scientific illustrator. And now it's super exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. That is really exciting. So it sounds like you knew that you loved illustrating. You loved that visual component of science communication. Communicating your science in that way, and you were preparing for it, right? You went from PowerPoint to the more heavy duty software. But I'm curious, when did you actually decide? Like, when was that moment when you decided, I'm going to start my own company? I'm going to, you know, strike out as a freelancer and start doing science illustrations. Yeah, what's the story?
What is
the story of Canil Visuals?
Yeah.
There's a story behind that.
It kind of went organically. So in the moment I saw that this career existed, I was like, okay, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I quickly found out that there's no really companies doing this.
Okay. Mm.
Or at least in Europe, especially. I think in the US you have some studios and things, like, I don't know. And you can also work for journals who have illustrators. Mm-hmm. But from what I know, in Europe it's a bit less common. And the more I was looking into it, the more the people I would find doing this job, they were all freelancers. So I was like, okay. I mean, I tried to look also for if I would find job offers, because especially for the beginning, it's a bit more stable to have like an actual position in some I don't know, company. But I couldn't really find exactly this kind of position. So I just decided, well, then freelancing is also kind of cool. It gives you like freedom to work when you want. And this is also something I always liked. In the end, I only did kind of academic kind of career. So I was always a bit flexible in my timings and where to work and when. So I like continuing that. I thought for freelancing matches this and it's good. Then I just prepared a bit with it. So here in Germany, you can get some support also for when you start something like this, like start a company or anyway on like your own business. So I applied for a grant to have some support in the beginning, and And then I just registered myself as freelancer. And
Yeah. Very cool. That was very brave.
Right?
For, to just decide right out of grad school, I'm going to become a freelancer. Right?
Yeah, it was scary, yeah. I mean, I think the excitement covered this, like, scared part.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. I was indeed scary. Like, I don't know how long it would take before it works out and I can actually leave out of it. And I mean, it's still in the process, but it's going well for now. And but yeah, the whole time I was like so happy that I finally found something that is matching a lot of passions of me, and like I can do in between, you know, being a bit of the bridge between science and art, which are two things I really like. So the motivation was pushing me through the fear.
Yeah,
my own business.
Excellent. Fuel that fear, right, to motivate you, or use that fear. Use that fear to fuel you, rather.
There you go.
Yeah, so, I like that.
I love it.
Great.
So, have you had any mentors during your journey while you were figuring out, you know, all of this science and art bridging? Have you had anyone you were looking up to, anyone who was like sort of really supporting you and mentoring you during that time?
I mean, no one specifically, I would say. Like, I don't have a specific person that really helped me, or like, also because in this, like, I didn't know personally anybody in this kind of field. So I got help from everybody. So all my friends and my colleagues at work, they were all super supportive. And even like my supervisor during the PhD gave me some time to try like to develop this illustration part in my more or less free time, or anyway, when I had less to do during the PhD project. And everybody was just like super supporting, which is very good for the motivation at least. And I just started to also ask a lot of questions to other illustrators online. Like, I don't know them personally, but I contacted a few of them on like social medias, and everybody was very helpful and willing to answer my questions. So I got a bit of a general support in general, both from friends and from other freelancers. And I guess that helped in any case, like even without having one specific mentor.
Yeah. Excellent. So you had a village of very supportive people around you. So that's wonderful.
That's fantastic.
So what advice would you give your younger self?
So it's a difficult question. Because I'm a kind of person that kind of think I am who I am because of all the choices I made, no?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I could, you know, keep tell to myself, you know, don't be scared, like push yourself out of your like comfort zone and just go for what you like directly and try to do it and don't like slow down or because you're scared or something. Which, I mean, it's probably like still a suggestion I would give to myself, but it's also, I don't know how my life would have been if I would have, I don't know, pushed myself more, if I would have moved abroad earlier, for example, because that was a big step, like a big change for me also. Like I stayed almost so until the end of the university, close to where my family was in Italy, and then I moved more far, and that opened a lot of doors for me. So maybe I could have done that earlier, I don't know. But in the end, the importance that I reached, like I just tried to follow my like passions and what I felt was good for me. And then I reached to this point where I actually found something that I find really fulfilling. And that's the important part for me.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think that advice, honestly, Laura, like I would give myself that advice too, right? Like, don't let fear hold you back. I feel like that's pretty universal, right? A lot of us, we hold ourselves back because of fear of whatever, right? Fear of failure, fear of what people will say, what people will think, fear of, you know, whatever, making mistakes, not being perfect, right? All kinds of things. So, yeah, I think that's pretty awesome advice that we all can take to heart.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. So, looking back, is there anything you would do differently?
No, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously, in principle, if I would have learned, I don't know, the design software from before, it would be easier for me now, because I'm trying to learn very fast things that people are studying from like long time, and it's
right.
But it's also like I didn't know before I wanted to do this, so I didn't know I needed those tools, for example. So it's
yeah. But
it would have been useful, yes, but
But your journey and the learning journey that you went on, you know, learning this while doing your PhD, that was really special for you, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't know how it would have turned out if you had done it some other way. Mm-hmm. But this is the way that worked for you, and you're here. And I think it's always great to love your journey and appreciate your journey and how you've changed through it.
I agree.
So. Yeah, I like never regret in principle.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
That's no wonderful. Regrets. And yeah, and it's so hard too, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So when you visualize your successful self, Laura, what does that picture look like? Describe that picture for us.
I mean, I just see myself actually having a good work-life balance when I'm doing like this kind of job, which I really love, in of course in a successful way. So having enough clients that I can like make a life out of it, and also enjoy the things that like you know, free time and traveling and things. So, but not at the price. For me, it's also important not at the price of like working just all the time. For as much as I love, and I really love what I'm doing, and that's also sometimes something I like struggle with, because I tend never to stop. Like I just like what I'm doing, and I go on, and then it's super late. But I think it would be ideal to be happy in completely, like in the future, to have this more balance where you can you work enough to have the life you like to want to you like to have. But also you have your free time, your private life, enough time for that and to relax. And potentially, I mean, now I'm thinking about the future. It could also, if everything works really well and continues like this, the business could also be expanded somehow, and maybe creating like a studio where we are different. Because I mean, my background is physics, so material science, chemistry, like this. But so, you know, it could be cool to have a studio where you have someone expert in biology or medicine, and like all the other fields. And because, of course, like I work a bit with every field. It's always interesting. And with a scientific background, you can always do more or less everything. Like you understand what people tell you, even if it's not your field. But it's easier when it is what you study. Like you can be more useful also for the client when the topic you're illustrating is close to what you studied. So I think with a studio where you can have people with the different expertise, then you can like really tackle all the science basically.
Excellent.
And give like the best service.
All the good things.
Lovely. I really like that. I really like that.
Balance and happiness and the possible expansion of Canil Visuals. I love it. I see it for you, and I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
So excellent. Thank you so much for sharing, Laura. Patu, do you have any additional questions for this?
Yeah, I do have one additional question. So, Laura, when you were getting started, did you have to learn a lot of like the art side of it, you know, or have you always been kind of someone who likes to draw, someone who likes to, you know, like design? And so it came kind of like natural for you to transition into this. Does that make sense?
I think halfway. Like I had a bit of an artistic sense, I would say.
Okay.
Like but I also never really studied it. Like I never did an art course. I'm not insanely good at hand drawing. Like I can hand draw, but it's like not perfect at all. I'm trying to learn that, because in the end, digital art, you don't need to be perfect at hand drawing. It helps.
Yeah.
It helps especially for 2D drawing, but for example, for 3D, it's a lot of modeling, and it's more similar to almost programming than to actually hand drawing. Okay. But you need to have, I mean, it helps to have a good sense of like composition and lightings, yeah, and like colors and these kind of things. And yeah, I think for me, this comes kind of natural.
Yeah.
So that helps. But it would probably help also more to do some like a more specific course. But I never really did anything specifically artistic, like except what you do in normal school, let's say. But on my free time, sometimes I like to draw, but yeah, it's also not something I did or I do really regularly, just every now and then.
Yeah. Okay, great. I love that, though. I was just like a natural, you know, like artistic flair that you have. Definitely way better than me. All my stuff is just like, I'm like, it's like illegible. Like no one knows what it is. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. All right. So for the last segment of our show, it is called Life Lights. And this is where we talk about what brings you joy outside of your work, Laura. So, you know, what kinds of hobbies or passion projects, spending time with family, friends, how do you relax? What brings you happiness, you know, and enjoyment to your life?
So there's like a few things.
In
general, well, I love nature, so I really like to go for like a hike or like camping, right, or things like this. But I also like, so I like sport a lot. And in this moment I'm playing rugby, and this is like a big part of my life, actually.
Wow.
Awesome. It's really I don't know, I found out this sport, like I started to play only like in the last year since after I moved to Germany.
Okay.
And it's a really cool sport, I think, not only for the sport itself, but also for the community.
Oh.
So what I really, so it's not only about doing some sport for me. This is really about friendship and like be like being together, and like everybody is accepted, everything. Like you play, of course, you're competitive when you like play a game or something, but then after the game, you're all together having a beer, partying. It's like, it's a great community. And it's also, it's been very good also for my personal growth, I think, because it pushed my self-confidence a lot. Like it's a sport where you had to do, to make decisions and go for it. Like, and like stick to it, because otherwise someone's going to run over you, basically. So you're like, whatever, if it's a wrong decision, doesn't matter. You have to be confident and try to go through with it. And that helped me also in my personal life, I think. So
great.
I feel like it's something that right now is bringing a lot to my life as well.
So. I love that.
And it's a good stress release.
Excellent. I feel like you have to be really tough to play rugby. That's a sport I'm a little bit afraid of. Wonderful.
I love that analogy, though, like, you know, make a decision and go for it, or someone's going to run over you, right? That's a great analogy, I think, for life even, right? Make a decision and go for it. You're going to get like bulldozed over.
Right?
You got to move. You got to move. I love
that. You got to move. Yeah. Can't just stay in one place. I love that. Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Laura. You know, we really enjoyed speaking with you and learning about, I feel like, you know, what is just the start of what I hope is going to be a phenomenal career for you, and that you will be able to achieve all these amazing objectives that you have. And, you know, we'll be in Times Square and we'll just see like this amazing, like, we need to speak into existence. We're going to see the advertisement, right, for Kanil Visuals and
of course,
all the things that you wanted to be, right? If we don't speak it, it's not going to happen. So I really, really enjoyed speaking with you, and Shakira did as well. So we're definitely going to follow, you know, your journey, and, you know, just keep, I guess, an eye on what you're up to next. And maybe sometime in the future, you know, we'll follow up with you and see what the next phase of all this is like for you. But this is really, really fantastic. And we wish you, you know, the best on literally what you're just starting your career. So there's like, I feel like the opportunities at this point are endless, right? It can go anywhere. And I think that's like something really, really exciting to look forward to.
Yeah, thank you. Also, a really nice time talking to you. And it's always exciting to me, exciting to talk about this, because I think it's also not a very well-known career path. Time, like, I already met people that didn't know about it, and then they were like, oh, really? It's like, it's so cool. So I'm like, maybe even happy if it can inspire someone, and like, that would be great.
I agree. Like, you're the second scientific illustrator, like scientific artist we've had on the show. But Shakira and I, like, this is something where when we saw it, you know, because we see, like, you know, like the visuals and things, and we're like, there are people who do this for a living. Like, this is really cool. But finding you guys is so hard sometimes.
Yeah. It's growing. It's growing. I think it's going to be more in the future.
It's definitely growing. And I think we've also been really fortunate that, you know, we've had you on the show. Recently, last season, we had Chidi Bire, who's also a medical illustrator and also does amazing work. So I feel like the community also of just those who do like scientific art, scientific illustrations is also, you know, just really productive. Like, you know, and you guys are starting to get your name out there. And I think that is really going to have people start to pay more attention, you know, to what the use
is. I think also like researchers and scientists are realizing how important it is to have like even the visual representation of what they do.
Agree.
And for now, even like there's a sort of community sense also in the between illustrators, maybe because we're not that many. Yeah. And there's like this, it's not much about competition yet. I don't feel like people are just trying to be competitive and get your clients or whatever. It's just,
I agree.
There's enough for everybody at the moment and it's really cool. And I hope it grows more and like, then it would be great and useful for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I like thinking of it that way. It's like there's more than enough for everybody, right? There's no reason to fight over this. Like, everyone's style's a little bit different. Everyone, you know, is going to bring their own unique ideas and creativity. And that makes it so that it's you know, you can literally have whatever you want. You know, it's just like the creativity's the limit. And I think that's really cool. It's like very collaborative and collegial in that aspect. And I think that's really good. Awesome.
Okay, so we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for supporting the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, like, and share. And you can reach out to us by email at lovesciencepodcast@gmail.com. Please send any questions for past guests, comments about the show, or suggestions for guests that you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time.
Bye, everyone.